Now notice the effect upon Job, and we come to chapter 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Is that the kind of a God that you have that can do anything? And I know now the old saw about, can God make a rock so big he can't lift it? Now, may I say to you, that's like the question you asked Mr. Milktoast. Are you still beating your wife? Well, you can't answer that by yes or no. And that other question has no answer for the simple reason that God never does anything foolish. He always does things in the context of his character. And he's always true to himself. And so you can't tell God to do something that he can't do. You know why? Because, my friend, you're in no position to do that. And God's not your errand boy after all. And he's not going to jump through a hoop just because you hold it up. May I say to you, listen to Job now. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. Job says, I've been talking about something I don't know anything about. That is the way we used to have bull sessions in the college dorm I went to. We had finished studying at night and meet in some room. Some fellow said, what are we going to talk about? And I used to say, well, let's talk about something that we don't know anything about. Then the sky's the limit. We can say anything we want to say. My friend, may I say to you, he's been talking about things he knows nothing about, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. He's talking without knowledge. He doesn't know. Now, will you listen to Job? Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I'll demand of thee and declare thou of me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Listen to Job now. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now this man Job, he has a new conception of God. Now, he's not in a position to question God in anything that he does. He's to trust him. He's in a new relationship. Now he's in a new relationship with himself. He sees himself, first of all, as vile. And then he says, I abhor myself. You know what he's doing? He's repenting, my friend. These are the steps. I repent in dust and ashes. These are the three steps, really, of repentance. Is first of all, do you see you're vile? And the second, do you abhor of yourself? My friend, when you quit trusting yourself, you'll quit trying to live on an old dead carcass, and you'll turn to the living God today. That's repentance, and that's the repentance that is in faith. What a wonderful thing it is. We come now to the third one, a new relation with his friends, verse 7. It was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now seven bullocks, seven rams. Go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. Notice now, a new relationship with his friends. Instead of fighting against them, debating with them, he's now going to pray for them. He's now going to offer a sacrifice for them. We're not to argue religion today and fight among ourselves. What are we to do? This is the thing Paul says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one. A new relationship to God, a new relationship to himself, and a new relationship to his friends. Now, God does something for this man Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Now, how did God give it to him? Well, he used human means. Then came there unto him all his brethren, all his sisters, all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. They bemoaned him and comforted him over the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. That's just the way he got started. God gave him twice as much. How? Because these friends staked him to a new beginning. And believe me, Job was a good businessman. And he had twice as much as he had at the very beginning. Now, this is something, though, that's interesting. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke ox, 1,000 she asses. Now, wait a minute. All of those are double, but it says he had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. And somebody says he didn't double them. Yes, he did. You see, those that died, his sons and his daughters, he didn't lose them. They're still his. He'll be with them. I guess he's with them today. And those that we lose in death, I've got a little one up there. As I said before, I used to say to folks, I have 2 children, 2 daughters. But they all look around and only see one. They think something's wrong with me. I got one in heaven. And very frankly, I'm not worried about the one in heaven. I am worried about the other one. I worry about it, but not the little one yonder in heaven. God doubled the children of Job. But the thing, look at the names they were given. He called the name of the first Jemima. And I thought that was for pancakes, by the way. And the name of the second, Keziah. And the name of the third, Karen Happel. Now, friends, if you have quite a few daughters in your family and you've been trying to think of a new name, I have a suggestion. Now, Jemima's been used, but how about Karen Happel? That's a good name for some girl, by the way, and I guess they would call her Hap for short. Karen Happel. These are the names. And we're told this, after this lived Job 140 years. That puts him back with the patriarchs. And he saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died, being old and full of days. What a glorious book this is. What a lesson it has for us. Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.